Government Business Council and Booz Allen Hamilton, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary, recently unveiled study findings concerning both the need for acquisition reform at the Department of Defense and the problems that are specific to the growing field of command, control, communications, computers, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, or C4ISR. Trey Oberein is both a senior vice president at Booz Allen and a former director of the Missile Defense Agency. In a recent interview, Trey talked with us about the highlights of the study and the Smart Command Town Hall series that Booz Allen is conducting.
So, Trey, tell us about the Smart Command Digital Town Hall web broadcast that took place recently.
Well, the Digital Town Hall web broadcast was the third event in the Smart Command Town Hall series that Booz Allen Hamilton is conducting with support from the Government Executive Media Group's Defense One. The purpose of the Digital Town Hall was to unveil the research findings from a survey of 340 defense leaders on the topic of the Department of Defense and the growing field of command and control, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capability acquisition, which is an area of focus in the Quadrennial Defense Review.
Trey, what are some of the current and the most pressing Department of Defense acquisition challenges that we're facing today, and what can be done to mitigate them?
Well, I believe that based on the survey results and based on previous studies that have been accomplished, I think that there is a disconnect between the government and industry with respect to their expectations. There's volatility in the budgets, and there's also extreme downward pressure in the budgets. Many of the program managers do not feel like they're empowered to make their own decisions, and one of the key findings for me is the fact that today a program manager has to manage up as much as they have to manage their program down because of the tremendous wide array of stakeholders that are involved in a very complex acquisition process. And so I believe that some of the things we can do to address these issues is the following. I think that, first of all, right now in the department, the responsibility for requirements for these systems, the responsibility for acquisition process for these systems, and the responsibility for budgeting for these systems are stovepiped into three separate areas. And the first time that ever comes to together in a single position is at the Deputy Secretary of Defense level. I think that inhibits the rapid process that we need to be able to develop to get the warfighting systems out in today's environment. Secondly, I don't believe that the systems follow enough of what we would call a spiral development approach, where they build a system, they build a capability to where it's militarily useful, get it in the hands of the warfighter, let them use it, and then on continuing follow-on versions, you continually improve it. It's a concept called spiral development. And I think that one of the really big problems in the department is there's over-optimism on the part of both the contractors and the government on some of the technical risks that these systems will have to overcome. And so the government end up paying for large standing armies of engineers when they really haven't solved some of the hard technical problems enough up front in the program. And I think that there's ways to do that where you get help in really mitigating those technical risks by sitting down and demonstrating that you have a handle on those before you actually hire the standing army of engineers that then cost the government so much money. I think a third issue is that we are not focused enough on integration up front, and especially this is true with our command and control, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance systems. We have to tend to try to integrate those after the fact, and that's much more costly than actually building in that interoperability and that integration capability up front in the system. And finally, I don't believe we empower and hold accountable our people enough. I think there's a tremendous lack of trust in the system that was highlighted by a Defense Acquisition Performance Assessment study that was done in 2005. I don't believe that's changed at all. And because there's this lack of trust, we've developed very complex acquisition oversight processes that increase cost and schedule in and of themselves. So I think that those are some of the major issues, and I think that there are some concrete steps that we can take, though, to mitigate those, especially as we're moving into this much faster tempo environment that we have today.
The survey results suggest a clear preference for increasing government involvement in defense acquisition, although doing so may not be that simple. How can defense leaders overcome cultural resistance to change, and what are some good first steps?
The first thing I think that defense leaders can do in overcoming cultural resistance is basically understand the flexibility that is inherent in the system and use it. And also they need to open up much better communication avenues between themselves and with industry as well. Example, oftentimes today you will have policy letters that come out from government contracting officers that severely limit the amount of communication that a government office can have with a contractor because they are overly concerned about an unfair advantage or not having a level playing field. When in fact, if you look at the federal acquisition regs and you look at even some of the recent Office of Management and Budget circulars, they talk about encouraging open communications with industry, getting industry involved even as they are looking at how they're going to define the requirements, evolve the requirements, the different strategies that they may use in acquiring the system. It's very healthy to have an open conversation between the contractors and the government in that phase, and I think that that would go a long way in terms of improving the quality of our system and closing the disconnect between the government and industry. Another thing that I think is important is actually once you have started the acquisition of a program, get the warfighters and the users involved and keep them involved. There was an example that we did at the Missile Defense Agency when we were building the battle management command and control system for the entire missile defense system. We had three labs that we had physically located together, and we actually took the warfighters and the users and we placed them in those labs side by side with the developers so that as we were developing the capabilities and the software, the screens, et cetera, they could provide real-time feedback and really improved the quality of that overall command and control system. And the reason we had the three labs is because we had one for the version that we were fielding. The next one was the version after that, and the third was the version that was coming after that. So we had a continuous pipeline to be able to get this capability out in the field. And there's others. I think there's other steps that can be taken, but I think the most fundamental one is to open up the avenues of communication between the government and between industry.
Budget pressures are a huge concern for any defense organization. What can agencies and the disparate stakeholders within, what can they do that's smarter and better in the budgetary drive down?
First of all, as the budgets come down, and there's going to be more and more pressure on getting the job done and getting it done correctly. I think that we have to, first of all, empower our program managers and hold them accountable. What's interesting about this is that if you go back in history, and you look at some of the very, very successful weapon systems developments. Take, for example, the National Reconnaissance Office back in the 60s and 70s, or when we were developing the stealth fighters and stealth bombers. Some of those programs followed extremely streamlined acquisition processes in which the individuals, the program managers, were empowered to get the job done. They were given not only the resources, but the flexibility to make the decisions that they need to make. They ran into the same problems that we do today in terms of technical problems and challenges. But the key difference was they had a very, very streamlined oversight process so that they did not have to get permission from a wide variety of stakeholders to be able to affect an outcome. And I think that we have to go to that model as we move in the future, to where we are able to allow our managers to more effectively move and use their resources than we do today.
Now, where can people go to learn more about the Smart Command series?
People can visit boozallen.com/smartcommand to be able to see the results of the survey that was done and also to be able to get more information about the series.